You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Rotatoes, it is Friday, and before you hit the skip button, because I'm sure that some of you probably just hit skip 30 seconds, maybe even skip a minute, maybe even skip 2 minutes. Anyway, before you do that, there is something I want to share with you, which is really, really cool and really exciting. I want to start off by saying thank you so much for being here. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you listening to this. The reviews that you guys have been leaving, so many people have left reviews recently, and it is making such a huge difference. And it's really helping us climb up those suggested algorithms or whatever it is on like Apple Podcasts and Spotify and stuff like that. So thank you so much for leaving reviews. But I wanted to share with you, as we're closing out on one arc, maybe the beginning of another arc. So I made a trailer of sorts for the new arc of Rotating Heroes, which is available over on Patreon, which is arc 11, featuring the incredible Mike Trapp and the unbelievable Caldwell Tanner, along with Zach Oyama, of course, as a player, and me as the GM. I made a little trailer so that, you know, you could get a little flavor, a little idea of this particular arc upcoming. And I thought I'd play it for you guys now instead of the sort of normal intro music, and then we'll sort of crack on with the episode, part two of episode four, for arc five. I really hope that you've enjoyed this arc as much as I did when I first listened to it, and maybe you'll go listen to it again over on the Patreon, or here, or wherever, but we don't mind. We just love you for being here and really appreciate it. So, without any further ado, take it away, me, and then Parsec.
I'm very hurt. I've been hurt a lot.
So anyway, you get inside the obelisk, it takes off into the sky, and you see a video of your kids, but they're kind of aging. They're like a lot. I don't know what you need, and I feel like this interaction isn't doing much for either of us.
Wow.
I am Mike Trapp. I am returning with turbines.
Wait, don't say it! Don't say it!
I would piss myself if it meant more money for more clay and more beautiful paints. I would debase myself in the name of art.
Are you Mrs. 69?
Oh my god.
It just immediately starts weeping.
Mommy, what is it?
420, go back to bed.
Gray doesn't have an answer. I think I'm just gonna look at Tuffy.
We're 40 feet from the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Harlan's down, not moving.
You have these paladin class features.
I was gonna say, I've got lay on paws. I've got 10 of those to give.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the only thing anyone has that can heal anyone.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So
we're 40 feet from the edge. Mm-hmm.
Do we have to? Do we have to stay in initiative order? Right, like Miko looks at us. Do we have to stay in initiative order, or?
We're still 40 feet from the edge, so I assumed it would be an initiative.
Okay.
I guess. What do you mean by that?
Or I guess like, does Miko like? What does Miko do? I guess
Miko's gonna start dragging Harland out of the battlefield.
Mm.
Miko's gonna take. Miko is gonna take an attack. Miko gets slashed by like a random dagger.
Oh no.
And starts pulling Harland out. His movement's 40 feet. I think he can get you to the edge of the battlefield. So you're at least, Harland unconscious is at least off the fray. Okay. So that's Miko's turn, I think.
On my turn, I will join to pull Harland all the way to the other side. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I will go and stand, if part of Harland is still like peeking out mm-hmm. from the thing, I will stand over his body and I'm going to ready an action for when Osgar comes within 60 feet.
The baby.
Okay.
I know.
Osgar. So Gray readies an action. Tuffy, it's your turn.
You can get to where everybody is.
Mm-hmm. By rolling.
No, you're 40 feet is just
there.
Your regular
yeah. I'm there.
Okay. So you catch up. All of you are on the edge of this battlefield as you see Osgar shouting overhead, kind of dodging blades and random strikes. Like, it's a very small army, but a lot of them is looking out at you all like, just give me the baby, goddammit. Tuffy, it's your turn. What do you do with your action?
Yeah, now that we are in a safe enough spot, we have some time to do that. I'd like to use my lay on pause. So, I mean, what do you guys think?
So, I think if you wanted to give like 5 to Harland or something mm-hmm. like that, I don't think that's a bad call.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Let's get him on his feet.
Cool. Harland wakes up with how much health?
5.
Harland, you feel nothing, blackness, licking. And a warm paw touches you and you wake up. You hear the screams of battles. You have that overused like tinny ear noise in a battle scene. Like, wake up. As
God damn it.
Miko's there too, like just a little too close. Like, he's dead, I think.
I mean, Zach's dumb characters really do it for me.
After that,
Harland gets up, opens his eyes, moves Miko's head out of the way.
Okay.
Knows it wasn't him.
All right.
Sees Tuffy and goes, my boy.
Paw.
Paw? Or paw?
Paw.
Paw.
So paw.
After that, Osgar is up. We'll roll.
Well, Harland is gonna grip that dagger in his mouth, not bite down to blink, Missy Step, but
ready to fight.
Ready.
Hell yeah.
They're gonna die again.
The hair on Tuffy's tough goes up a little bit because you can see that Harland has really harnessed that weapon.
Real yes. Clint.
He's mastered it.
Real Clint Eastwood yes. vibes.
Gonna roll for Osgar as he continues to fight his way through the crowd. Passes the dex check, kicks another kobold down.
Stupid.
And.
Stupid ass.
Yeah. He's gonna take a shot. You see Miko push out of the way. It's like, I think we're good now. Gets hit for the lowest amount of damage you can possibly be hit for this. He got hit for 6 damage.
That's the lowest amount?
Yeah. And he goes, my brain! It does hit his like mithril armor, kind of slowed by that. I think that's why it seemed to have hurt as less. Tuffy, you take 5 points of damage. You don't feel anything in your mind as this hits you, but an arrow strikes your shoulder.
Is Osgar within 60 feet of us?
Osgar is... These are 900 feet away. He's 80 feet away. Right, 820 feet away. With a cocky smile on his face, he disappears and appears 30 feet in front of him. So,
whole person. Ready to action. I'm going to hit him with the whole person. Ready to action from the wand.
Oh my god.
Also, I'd like to point out that the giving the one, I'm going to be a full munchkin now. he never actually rolled the disadvantage from from my paws rocks from Pawpaw's rock digging.
As he disappears, pops back into person. Gray, you were waiting for this. You pop out from behind the tree. You see Tuffy take this arrow. You move the wand with your mouth. You see, as Osgar sees this, you think he was like gonna make some kind of move, but he slips, his ankle hits this hole. He makes this check with disadvantage. So he gets plus one to this.
Oh God, he has to hit a 16 or higher on both dice.
Yeah, let's just roll it in front of the board.
Oh my God, 16 or higher on both dice, or he fails. 17, this one is cocked, but that's a 17.
Oh.
If this one is a 16 or higher, he makes it. If it's a 15 or lower, he fails. Is it cocked or is it? What do we call it?
It looks like
it's either a 10 or a 12 and both fail.
That is a 10 in my eyes. You see Oscar lock up.
Woo!
No. He is frozen in place. So 60 feet away from you, you see the battle clashing around him. It's not the kind of spell that when you get hit, you get taken out of it. It's when you get hit, they auto crit. But his next turn, he would get to make another save. But for now, he is frozen in place.
In the middle of the battle.
In the middle of the battle.
How many feet through the battle is he?
He is 60 feet from you guys, and you guys are just outside of the battle.
Okay.
So he's 60 feet away from you.
Copy that.
But he is incapacitated and paralyzed. Going to make another check. That's all you see right now. You are out of the battle. You're still in initiative for the next little bit, but you have escaped the actual war that just was happening right here.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to go back to the top of the order. You guys don't have to do any of these lair actions in terms of the battlefield. Miko is going to say, let's go. Let's keep going.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Really?
We got out. We got away.
It's like maybe you could do something, but you'd have to go back into the literal war happening behind you. So it's up to you guys. But Miko's just going to look up and be like, what the fuck do we do now?
Gray looks at Tuffy and Harland. I don't think Gray is taking leadership in this moment, but her clear vantage point is the horse has like rolled its ankle. The hunter is stunned and held in place and we got out of the war. So Gray's looking like this is time to run.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that doesn't have to be what your characters think, but that's what Gray is thinking.
Without making a save, I think Miko's just going to move forward.
Cool.
After that, it is now Harlan's turn.
We need to get the baby to where it needs to be.
Gray looks very relieved to hear Harlan say that and is going to follow Pa into the woods.
Follow those Tommies.
Mm-hmm.
Follow those Tommies. You all move away from the battlefield.
Watch this guy fail all his saves and just get shredded by kobolds and warlocks in the middle of the battle.
Yeah, you make your way away from this battlefield. Gray, you have been here before. This feels so familiar. You remember these fletched arrows coming out of a bot of fur. You see it all before you. You've seen versions of this, some where Harlan goes down for good and versions where Harlan maybe gets back up, and you've seen versions where Tuffy goes down for good. That night you had in the glade was very scary to imagine all the different possibilities, and Mama Swan didn't necessarily make you feel better about the situation in their grave description of the reality of it. You look back, you hear Osgar, you hear him screaming through his gritted, closed teeth as he is stuck in place, slashes from kobolds hitting him, anger in his eyes fills him as he, this evil pelt man, succumbs to the war around him.
True Disney villain death. Just like, we don't even have to sully our paws by killing him. Just war.
Walk away from it.
Walk away from it.
Eventually, though.
No.
Tupelo stands in front of you.
The dog.
Looks around. Is looking around and just looks confused.
Where's your master?
You say that. And how are you communicating that?
Speaking.
His ears perk up. Oh, it like looks confused. Looks back, looks forward, looks around, looks at you, doesn't know.
I think I won't speak this time, but I'll in like sort of the old primal language of wolves that we used to speak in. I will just like sniff at this animal and give it a look of challenge, like submit or fight.
You see this big dog with sylvan features looks at the dagger in your mouth, looks at you, Tuffy, with standing tall with an arrow in your back. Sees Miko just be there, just kind of cowers, puts his tail between his legs, shows, kind of gets under, shows you his belly.
Everyone gives him a scratch.
It just looks around confused and tries to. You don't speak the same wolven language as this blink dog would speak, but it says, it has a recognition of thanks as you scratch it. Doesn't seem used to being pet.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do have a bit of a way with animals, and I have an idea. You know, I think this could be a new ally. Mm-hmm. So I take off my necklace and I fashion a bit of a leash around this dog and secure the end of the leash in my mouth.
A wolf taking a dog for a walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a leash between two dogs. Or a wolf and a dog.
It's a very Pluto and Goofy situation.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, yeah. What the hell's going on there?
It's like, make an animal handling check.
Okay.
I'm going to give the help action here.
It's 18.
Cool. Yeah, it's like, kind of scratches at it. It's confused a little bit, but it just tolerates it. And it's like, and pulls forward. Walks forward with you all.
Wow.
You have escaped the battle. We are out of initiative. Incredible.
Oh my God.
New friend.
I didn't get this. Didn't get to stab the blink man with the blink dagger.
You did in your own way. If you had not made the road safe, he would not have stumbled. And if he had not have stumbled, he would not have fallen. And if he would not have fallen, he would not have met his end at the blades of those monsters in that field. To be awakened like this means that our blades move sinister and strange, sideways through time and over distances that were hard to imagine before.
Magic was meant for you.
Crying. Don't even know if wolf biology allows for that, but crying. And I think, yeah, I'm going to like go in between Tuffy and Harland and just nuzzle them both and be like, it's hard to explain, but the biggest difference between the past and the future is that there are many more of the futures than there are of the past. And in most of the futures, I was not with both of you here. And I am very glad that something unlikely happened.
See a gopher hole in a field. See just endless kobold. Slot form covered in pelts as you guys make your way east.
Harland gives Miko a little nuzzle and says, thank you.
Miko accepts it and he looks at Tupelo and he's like, nuzzles are when you like each other. Explaining to a blink dog.
And he's now holding the lead.
The travel is much easier from here. You find game trails and things that feel like take you to places where you can easily get food. You're hitting a point where we're almost out of Cheerios. So as you continue east, you find these sort of easier game trails. You're able to hunt and take what you need and live very peacefully as you move further east. You don't have the threat of some of the future and something else behind you constantly chasing you. You finally hit an area of the woods that you're pushing into an area where, like, you've passed through magical areas. You pass through areas with, like, some of the most dangerous animals you can imagine. You hit an area where you're kind of just seeing a deer every now and then. Everything feels a little possibly tamer. It's not as wild as it was. And everyone make a perception check with advantage.
30, 20.
Real 20.
Whoa!
Oh. Real 20.
Call that a real 20, baby.
That 20 is for real.
What happens when 20 reels get together under one roll?
This is real 20.
Under one roll.
Tuffy, you smell. You're leading the way. Smelling what you can smell. You smell a two-legged creature. A type of two-legged creature. And not an elf. Not like Osgar. Not like the kobolds or the Morlocks you just saw. But it's different. It's it seems like it's possibly humans. You push forward into an area of the forest where you eventually see through a clearing. You see this fort that has all these tiers. It's kind of militaristic. There's like pointed stakes coming out of it. It looks kind of uninviting. Except for one little spot where out of the defensive of most of the fort, they're still like, they're building this outer wall. You see this little dilapidated church-like building, kind of reminds me of that temple that you were in before, but it's a little newer probably in the scheme of the world. It doesn't look ancient, but a very old church. One of the things that mark this church as different than other buildings that you've seen is that instead of a back wall of it, not that you would all know it, there isn't a back wall of the church. What the person at the front would be standing in front of in a normal church would probably be like, you know, like a stained glass window or something like that. It's just the forest. So it is something that feels a little more inviting to you than the rest of the fort. You look at the shape of this and you remember this arch from a vision you had of the future.
We're supposed to be here. And I'm going to walk up through the arch into the temple.
Yeah, you walk up into the temple and you find there are humans milling about, like doing a little work here and there, but you are able to get by them and walk up into this temple where you see a woman in her late 50s in green robes sitting. She has a little bowl of oatmeal eating it, looking at the forest. And then looks down like, oh, hello. Hi.
Hello.
Oh. What? Can you understand me? Hello. Hello. Were you sent? Oh my God. Are you from? Did Sophie send you?
In a way she did. What is your name?
My name is Willow. The Abbess Willow Talbot.
Abbess. Cool. Cool name.
I'm like basically the only member of the congregation.
It's a beautiful building. Is that Thank a you. I mean, building?
Building, that's right. Yeah.
Yes, it's called a building. Church more specifically, but you can talk.
We can.
You should see what I could check this out.
What?
Tuffy starts walking up the side of the.
Oh my God. Your legs are just dangling down.
Yeah. It's a good stretch.
What are you. Where am I? What can I. Why do we deserve this? Why are you here? I've never seen. I've been looking for a sign.
A servant of Zophine sent you more than a sign, my sister. We have come a long way through hard journeys and the vast deep of the forest to bring you this. And I'm going to undo my head from the papoose. I'm going to quickly grab the little teacup out of it and my wand. but leave the papoose in front of this woman.
She looks down, and you see her look at this baby, and you immediately recognize in her the same feeling that you felt when you saw the baby for the first time, with this like maternal instinct of protection and love and just like almost like hopping in place, excitement, like, huh, what? Is this, what is this? Is this, what, she's beautiful. What is her name?
Tupelo's having like a little bit of a spasm. He doesn't like being in the building. And so I kind of realize this is kind of a special moment, and I take the leash off of him, and then he kind of runs out of the building.
So, prayer beads hit the ground.
Yeah.
On the floor of the church.
Well, I guess we didn't really come up with a name.
She looks at it and sees a little strip of fabric that says Freya. Freya. I don't understand. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I don't know. Thank you. Is she okay?
I think Gray will relate the story of what happened to the abbess and tell her how we discovered the child. Tell her about Oscar, who to the best of our knowledge is no more. And that her people were killed in the woods, but that we were told that the child would be safe here in Fort Cutler. And that the first person we met spoke the same name as the man that awakened all of us to this task.
I knew Zophine was real. I always felt it, but I never felt like I had any sort of proof. Until now. Thank you. She takes the baby and she holds it. Freya. I don't know what to say. This is the sign that maybe I've been looking for my entire life. And, she just holds the baby. What are you? Can I get you anything? I have oatmeal. I don't think you would want that, but.
I'm gonna look to Harland and Tuffy and Miko and say, our fondness for the child could keep us here for some moments longer, but this is not our home.
I don't know where our home is.
Neither do I.
Maybe we'll have to make a new home.
Could be.
Should we go back to our old pack? Is that...
I'm going to turn to the woman, to the abbess, and say, please care for the girl and keep her safe. For some reason, there are things in the world that wish her harm. I would be careful to share her nature or even the fact of her existence with those you do not trust.
She nods.
May we say goodbye?
Yeah, of course. She holds the baby Freya down to you.
I'm going to lean my head in and nuzzle the baby, lick her face, and go, stay fierce, little one.
She smiles.
Harland just stands and cries, wolf cries.
Tuffy goes and gives the baby a big, loving lick, and then just a quick sniff of the woman's butt.
Stop. Miko.
He also
Freya's face.
Oh, he goes and he retrieves the beads from the ground and goes and shimmies them over Freya's head.
As Sophie does this, you see the prayer beads lift up into his mouth and are placed on Freya. You see like a little passage of green light kind of twist through the little bead inside it and then go out, but stays on for you.
Did Miko ever use his hair?
I don't think he did.
Well, I'll look at Miko. Well, Miko can do what Miko wants with the hair, but I will look and say, I'll look at Miko and say, do you still have your hair from Mama Swan?
Yeah.
Might be a touching gift to give.
Okay, fine. He puts it in there and you see the hair land next to the prayer beads, and you see the beads light, a different bead lights up with a sort of yellow energy, and the hair disappears.
Thoughts?
Next.
Farewell, Abbas. It was a joy to meet you.
Yeah. Should we leave out the window?
That the whole back door's open, yeah.
Okay, well.
Thank you.
We'll go.
I'm going to leave, I think, aware that, you know, by the time Freya is old enough to even be able to journey to the forest on her own, we'll all likely be dead. And they'll walk into the forest with my family and pull the little teacup out, and I have my little wand still. I'll look at everyone and say, well, we did as the druid asked. We saved the pup. But I don't know what happens now. Great magic was worked so that we could do this task, but now that the task is done, the magic will far outlive it.
Well, now we get to do what we want to do. And of course we wanted to do that. I don't mean to say we didn't want to do that. Of course, that was awesome.
But Mika, like, what do you want to do?
I don't even know. I haven't really thought of that. I've always thought about, you know.
Gray, what do you want to do? I don't mean to speak for the group, but holy shit, the brain on you. What? You've got to do something bigger than just hang out with me, I'll tell you that much. I'm almost going to say you got to keep chasing whatever it is inside of you.
I don't know what the future holds for me. I never felt at home in the pack even before. And now, to go back there, I don't know. I don't think I could. But I know that you understand. I'm frightened. But I know that if the druid were still alive and gave us all the choice to go back to the way things were or to continue into the strange and wild unknown, I would choose the unknown.
Miko kind of rustles, shakes his body, eventually shrugs this mithril shirt off. Does anybody want it? I got kind of tired of wearing it.
I feel it would look appropriate on Tuffy.
With the shoes?
Could look good with the shoes.
Look, I'll go with the pack as always. But in my mind, I've learned some things out here. And even though I feel different, I do think that I can help the pack back home. And I don't need any of these things back there. So, knowing that you're out there, Gray, with every possible tool at your disposal, it would make me feel a lot better when I'm back with the pack, knowing that. And knowing that you know there's always a spot for you there if you need to come back.
I'm trying to look at my dad. What do you want?
Harlan doesn't know. Harlan doesn't know what he wants. He feels a desire to... doesn't want to go back to the pack. Feels like Tuffy is going to do an amazing job going back there. He's probably going to become alpha male. Become Wolf 21. Wants to be with Gray, but doesn't want to weigh her down. Doesn't want to give her a burden of having a senior dog around.
Dad, do you want
Do you want another life? Do you want to run again?
Running's hard. In these last years, I'd like to see some more parts of the world. See more of what was outside of the pack.
Do you mean that? Is there a part of you that is curious, that wants to know more about the world?
Yes.
I wouldn't hate to be alone. And you wouldn't be a burden to me.
You wouldn't hate to be alone?
No.
You want to be alone?
No, I wouldn't hate to be alone.
It just sounds like you're saying you...
You want to be alone.
You wouldn't hate it.
I'm saying that if you're concerned that I would hate being alone... Oh, I see it. Yes, no, I am saying it wrong. Well, I'm saying it wrong.
For the first time, my brilliant girl.
What a dumbass.
Harland punches Miko in the face.
Okay. All right.
I would not love being alone. It is something I would make peace with, but it would be hard.
You mean that?
I mean that.
I don't want to burden you.
What if there was a way? What if there was a way? Things are not always as they seem. Would you be willing to do something strange? Even if we
yes.
Hop, 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 hop. I'm going to look at my brother and say, you're my brother. The pack will never have been in better hands. I love you, and I will see you again. This forest needs protecting. The wolves of the pack need voices and eyes in the wide world. Past what it is fair for any wolf to be asked for. I think I can be those. I think I can be the eyes and ears of the pack in spaces far away. I'm going to nuzzle my brother. Fair journey back, Miko. And to you and to the pack's new dog. I'm going to gather up the belongings, the armor. I'm going to give the armor and the shoes to Harland. And I'm just going to take the wand. And I'm going to stand on one side of the teacup and I'm going to sort of take the little scrap of the wet scrap of fabric out. And I'm going to say, Dad, I need you to lick this.
What?
You said you were willing to do something strange. And I'm going to lick it as well.
What?
I'm looking at two.
Miko, no!
Never mind. You both lick this sheet. Let's roll on the reincarnation table.
Yeah, I think Gray knows that if she licks this thing, she will come back and doors of magic will open to her in ways that would be always
limited.
She
what if
would
you
always
end
be
up
limited.
A fucking platypus.
We'll find out.
Okay. You both lick this wet napkin. You taste the algae on it, and the taste crosses over your tongue. And you feel that taste kind of continued throughout your body. You feel the taste in your arms and legs, and it kind of takes you over. You feel weird. You thought it felt weird to be awakened. This feels weirder. You felt that fizz in your brain before. You feel your body gets really hot and then really cold and then sort of expanding and shrinking. And as this happens, both of you who looked at it, roll a D100 for me.
Fun. Does this also, I forget with reincarnate, what does it do to your age? Like does it, do you come back in a younger body?
So let's read the language. The spell forms a new adult body for it and then calls the soul to enter the body. If the target's soul isn't free or willing to do so, the spell fails. The magic fashions a new body for the creature to inhabit, which likely causes the creature's race to change. So we will roll a D100. I think it would be a young body.
Are we rolling a percentile?
D100. Yeah.
A D10 too?
Two D10. So a D10 and a D10. So I got a 36.
Not a D100?
That one and then...
Oh, that's a 12.
And then another, like this one here, yeah.
Three hundred.
Oh, I 30 and a 36.
As this happens, you feel your body's humming with this energy. You feel expanding and shrinking and getting to, like, something is going on with you. You feel your body morphing as you shake and vibrate with this newfound energy. Tuffy, you look over at these two and see this hum. It has this similar feeling to what you saw when that staff got changed into the prayer beads. You see the form of them have this, you can't see color, but there is this sort of dark green outline to them. It's almost like an eclipse happening over their body as light appears from the back. The center of them looks very dark and black. As this happens, they
come on, guys,
and taller and taller. Gray and Harland, you both open your eyes. Harland, you open your eyes and you see in front of you a wood elf.
Unbelievable.
As you open your eyes,
shut the fuck up.
You look before you and you see a high elf.
Oh.
Similar, but a little different. Two elves joined by two wolves. And it blink dog, Tupelo.
You start jumping.
And then it comes up to you and starts sniffing you.
I like shakily get up on two legs. Dad, how do you feel?
Like a man.
I'm going to go and hug my dad. And then I'm going to lean down. And I think I'm just like fully naked, but just have no body shame of what that is. And I'm going to lean down next to Tuffy and reach out and not go to my hands instinctually, but go to just my head and nuzzle you again and look at you and say, I'm going to learn to walk on 2 feet. I'm going to learn to say their secrets. I'm going to learn to tell their stories. And I will move through their world and keep this forest safe for as long as I am alive.
Hell yeah. Miko sits back. He's been waiting to do this whole conversation. Looks up at the sky as it gets darker. A moon barely visible in the sky above. And lets out a deep, loud howl.
I pick up my wand for the first time in a hand. And...
dagger up. Howdy's out of here.
Oh, and with that, we will end the fifth arc.
Yay! Yay! Yeah!
Wow. Two elves!
Was the druid a wood elf?
The druid... wood elf? Was a wood elf.
The druid was a wood elf.
That is
So now, oh wow. So that means that you're the same as the woman who is going to care for Freya.
She yes.
Was part of that. Oh, she was of that. She was a human.
She was a human.
Who was of the church that was.
I think there was something in we, I mean, we talk about it in the Arkbark, but I think there was something in Gray's mind where she was just like,
should we go right into the arc park?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it here. So that was the fifth arc. Absolutely incredible. I had a fucking blast playing with you all. This was so fun.
So fun, man.
One more time, Maddie Cordova.
That's it, find it.
Beautiful. Izzy.
Isabella Natalie Francis Rowland is my name.
Amazing. And bringing us home.
Brandon Lee Mulligan, that's my name. Is that what it do? That was Akoyama.
I don't know. That was the fifth arc. stick around next week for the arc bark as we talk all things this arc and really wrap it up. Oh my god. See you next week.
Woo, baby!
I hope that you've enjoyed that episode of Rotating Heroes. This has been Arc 5 with Matt Cordova, Izzy Rowland, and Brennan Lee Mulligan with Zach Oyama as your Dungeon Master. As always, please, if you've enjoyed this episode, take 2 seconds to drop us a review and help new rotators find the show. And if you're enjoying it and want more Rotating Heroes in your life, then make sure you check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon, which is patreon.com/rotatingheroespod, or just in the description below you right there. We also have a Discord, and there's loads of other ways that you can get involved with the show, so make sure you go check out all those links. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I hope that you have a wonderful time.
Bye.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our 4 favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.